Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it's Friday. Give us a call. Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, you can hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Get to some of your emails. Everybody's talking about this Final Four of college football. Check out rayandtaytoday.com. Like us on Facebook and tweet at us on Twitter, Ray. We got a special guest joining us, hopefully, in a minute or two. We got George Reister, former Jaguars and Oregon Ducks tight end, calling us from the Beast 980, his show, The Drive. So let's bring George in, and let's talk some college football and NFL with him. I think George with us right now, Ray.
All right, George, welcome back to the show.
George, welcome to Ray and Tay Today, man.
We might be having some technical difficulties.
George, you with us?
Yeah.
There
right.
He is.
I'm right here.
Welcome back,
hey, George.
How's
you doing? Welcome back. How are you?
Man, I'm happy to be on Ray and Tay, man. These are my roots.
Yeah, tell us about your show real quick, about the Beast 980. Tell us what's going on in your world right now in L.A.
I'm actually driving in now. We're on AM 980 in Los Angeles from 3 to 7. Me and my co-host, Brett Winterbro, and we're talking all things sports. And we're going in. We're going hard. And, you know, and it's a show. To where we do some national stuff, but we feature LA stuff big bit because there isn't a whole lot of specialization in the LA market. There are so many teams here that the Lakers, the Kings, the Dodgers, the Clippers, and nobody's really just focusing on the LA team so much, and that's what we do.
Okay, well,
that sounds great. Let's jump right into it. Your market, our market, the Pac-12 championship tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, number 7 Arizona and number 2 Oregon, and we'll talk about why UCLA's not in this game. But I got to ask you, being in that area and the whole Pac-12 country, can we expect Arizona to get a second win over your Ducks, or will the Oregon Ducks hold on to the number 2 spot and make it into the college football playoff?
I think that Oregon is going to win this game for a few reasons. First and foremost is that their offensive line, even though they're without Hronis Grassu, who's their All-American, potentially first-round draft pick center, they're healthier in their tackles. Because when they played against Arizona, they started a true freshman and a walk-on at tackle, and that prevented the Ducks from being able to run the ball and protect their quarterback, Mariota. And now they're going to have that protection and be able to run the ball. And I think that they're going to have a much better indication on defense of how to stop that Arizona offense.
That sounds good. So I got to follow up with that and just ask you straight up. You know, usually it's about five guys that get invited to New York for the Heisman Trophy. But is this Marcus Mariota's award this year? Does he finally get his Heisman Trophy?
You have to think that that's the case. I mean, he's been consistent from wire to wire, and there have been some guys that have come along like Dak Prescott, Melvin Gordon, and a whole host of guys
Boykin,
that have come on.
Like Boykin, too?
Yeah, exactly.
For you?
Yeah. He's a good player as well, and you have to like them. But when you look at what Mariota has been able to do, increasing his numbers from last season, he's leading the nation in passing efficiency on one of the best offenses in the country. He doesn't turn the ball over very much. You know, he's just been more consistent and then also better than everybody as well.
Yep, and you know what? I'd love to see him at the next level too. Can't wait. Also want to talk about your guy Brett Hundley down there at UCLA. But let me ask you something about, say Oregon wins, that means they've punched their ticket. Who do you think fill out the other three spots? Actually, who's the number four team, right? It seems clear that probably it's going to be an Alabama team maybe in there, maybe a Florida State team. They still have to win out. But who's your fourth team?
I'm going to tell you this. There is going to be so much chaos tomorrow in the game. I do think that the Ducks, that they will punch their ticket. But Alabama's not going to have a cakewalk with Missouri. And then there could be some shakeup with the – if Baylor puts a beating on Kansas State, that could shake up the TCU matchup at number three. And then Florida State. They have used up all of their nine lives. And I'm telling you, I tweeted it out a couple of days ago, if they are behind at any point in time in the second half, they are going to lose. This is a game against Georgia Tech that I do think that Florida State can win and probably should win, but there's only so many times in sports that you can live on the edge and then still have the ball bounce your way. You know, at some point in time, these Jameis Winston picks, one of them is not going to come in the first half. One of them is going to come in the fourth quarter, or somebody's going to fumble and somebody's going to finally make a field goal, or something is going to go against them if they are playing bad football like they have and winning, because it just doesn't work like that in sports for the long term.
No, that's a great point, and you're right. They've been riding that way from week one. You know, they are the hunted, but they've been, you know, they haven't played great football. Speaking of a team that has played great football, though, what do you think about Ohio State? Can they, with their third-string quarterback, do they have a chance to make it in the top four?
Why not? Why not? If one of the other teams falls off, So if one of the other teams falls off and Ohio State goes out and beats Wisconsin, why wouldn't you put them in the top four? I know that they're down to their third string quarterback, but nobody thought that they would be in this position with A.J. Barrett at behind center either. So who's to say that Urban Meyer, who's a great coach, is not going to be able to get his sophomore quarterback ready and turn him essentially in 1 month's time into a quarterback that could potentially win the national championship. And Ohio State's defense is a very good defense. They're led by one of the best defensive linemen in the country. So this is not a team that you can discount, and the Big Ten is not exactly the premier conference in college football right now, but you can't shortchange Ohio State and what Urban Meyer's been able to do there.
And I will add one point, and let me hear what you think about this. I can't give the Big 12 the benefit of the doubt because they don't have a conference championship. So everybody else now has a conference championship, but the Big 12 doesn't. So if TCU or Baylor, you know, are one of those last two teams, wait a second. You didn't have to go through a conference championship like the SEC championship winner, like the Pac-12 championship winner, like the Big Ten championship winner will have to do.
That is, I would totally agree with you in terms of that. But there are a couple little caveats to that. Is that the SEC, they only play 8 conference games. So I don't want to hear that excuse from SEC people when they only play 8 conference games,
right,
and the majority of their teams, and the majority of their teams play a horrendous non-conference schedule. The out of the 14 teams in the SEC, 11 of them have essentially 4 free wins in their non-conference. And so
that's definitely fair, George.
It makes the conference appear stronger because about week five, week six, once they really get into the meat of conference play, you're looking and you see all these teams with zeros in the loss column. And the SEC is essentially only judged against itself because the exception of Alabama playing West Virginia and Auburn playing Kansas State and LSU playing Wisconsin, nobody else played a non-conference game against the Power Five that was any good in the SEC. So,
right.
So they're only judged against themselves, and they only play 8 conference games. So I don't want to hear about how tough and how much of a gauntlet that the SEC schedule is when like you look at the Pac-12, which is the best conference in college football this year. You get no weeks off. I mean, even Colorado, you still have to show up and play.
No, that's very fair. George, let me ask you this. Is there any way that sort of everybody wins out and Florida State gets one of those squeakers and, you know, where they look horrible but beat Georgia Tech, you know, 21-20? Is there a way that an undefeated national, you know, returning national champ does not make the top 4 college football playoff this year?
You can't factor in the fact that they are the returning champs because it is a different team. As you've seen with their defense, who was dominant last year, has not been able to be as dominant this year. And they were beating people by more than 20, 30 points a game last year. And we haven't seen that this year. Jameis Winston went from 40 touchdowns and 10 picks last year to 21 touchdowns, 17 picks right now. So this is not the same team. So you can't just throw the defending champion label on them. But however, if Florida State is undefeated, it would be criminal for them to be left out. I get that they're winning ugly. I don't like it either. And like I said earlier, they are living on the edge, and it is eventually going to run out. Regardless, if you do not play good football, you will not win championships. That just is what it is. They've benefited from playing against, you know, the Syracuses, the Boston Colleges, and the Floridas, the Miamis. These are some of the teams that they've played, and Louisville, who they played tough games with, who aren't necessarily the cream of the – oh, and Notre Dame, too, who aren't necessarily the cream of the crop in college football.
Yeah, they've been revealed. So, George, we know you're a versatile guy. You know your sports. So let's ask you real quick before you leave us, let's turn pro. What do you think about the pro season so far? And if you had to pick a Super Bowl matchup, what's on your mind?
The obvious pick for this year is the New England Patriots versus the Packers. But how often does the teams that appear to be the best end up in the Super Bowl?
And that wasn't even the case 4 or 5 weeks ago, right? That's only been the last 3-4 weeks.
Exactly. And, I mean, because in the beginning of the season, everybody was questioning Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and he had to tell everybody, relax, it is okay, don't worry. And he's come out and he's played really, really well, but every team is one sprained ankle or one lineman out for the year away from going from the favorite to like scrounging for a playoff bid. I love the Eagles. I love the way that they're playing right now. And I really like the Broncos. They made a commitment this year to playing much better defense. And if you've noticed, they've transformed the way that they're playing football ever since the New England
game.
Peyton Manning has been under center more, so they are running the football, and that's what they're going to hang their hat on, because Peyton Manning's arm is not as strong as it used to be. His arm is no longer weatherproof. He used to be able to throw through rain, sleet, or snow like the post office, but those days are over. I mean, he's just not the same guy.
And he's got a whole slew of runners back there. C.J. Anderson is quite a find. And then when Hillman and Ball are healthy, that's quite a little rotation they have there.
Exactly.
So who would you put in the game? Because I picked the Seahawks and Patriots in the beginning of the season, and I still like my pick.
I don't think that the Seahawks are playing well enough offensively. I think their defense is getting a little more healthy, and that their defense will be good enough to be Super Bowl caliber. I don't think their offense is going to be Super Bowl caliber. I'm going to go with the. I'm sticking with the Broncos. I like the Broncos, and in the NFC, I'm going to give you the Eagles.
Wow.
Ooh,
okay.
Your guy, Chip Kelly.
That sounds great. Hey, George, thanks for joining us. And I know you got to do the drive on the Beast 980 in L.A. Before you go, so we talk to the L.A. audience a little bit, tell us what happened to Brett Hundley this year and the UCLA Bruins, and will he still be a first-round pick in the NFL draft?
I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. He's still a really good quarterback, but I think he needs to stay in school and hone his skills a little bit more. But as far as the Bruins, I think that people thought that they were a little further along than they really were. But the biggest thing that I didn't like is that when Brett Hundley was on the Jim Rome show, he said that he had accomplished everything he set out to do in college. And I'm like, what did you do? He didn't win a national championship. Didn't even win a Pac-12
championship. Yeah,
and he didn't win a Heisman. And I just think that the goals are way too low around UCLA right now.
That's great.
Wow,
that's
George. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Keep up the great work. We'll tune in on the drive and listen to you talk the knowledge over there too.
All right, thanks.
Great job, George. Talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Take care.
Wow, that's great. That's our buddy George Reister.
George, he's awesome.
Former Duck and Jaguars tight end, now co-host of The Drive on the Beast 980 in L.A. He said a mouthful. We'll get back to the college football and the NFL. Let's jump in with a little MLB and NBA talk. Real quick, Ray, update us on a couple of these signings, and then today, the three-team trade, there's a new shortstop replacing Derek Jeter in New York. What happened?
Yeah, so I didn't get the whole detail, right? Who is the – is there some players to be named later? Because I know it was Detroit, Arizona, and the Yankees.
Well Arizona
and the Yankees
did
give up a reliever,
Robbie
Green.
Ray.
What's that?
They did get a pitcher, Robbie Ray, who went to Detroit in the from the Nationals in the Doug Fister deal. And the D-backs are looking forward to the Robbie Ray being, you know, potentially a starter for them in the rotation next year. So I do know that.
So the Yankees locked down D. Gregorius. He's almost 25. So he's kind of the young shortstop.
Defensive,
so that tells me that
guy.
The Yankees, you know, weren't going to go hard after Drew, and then they're going to move Martin Prado to second, although Prado is one of these guys that can play, you know, outfield, second,
yeah,
short, third. I love those guys that can play multiple
positions.
No, he's
great. Prado's great. I loved him out here in Arizona.
And to get a 25-year-old shortstop, look, you never want to be the guy to replace the guy. So who knows, right? You want to be the guy after the guy. So I hate to be the next shortstop after Derek Jeter. But at least he's young. At least we're locking down positions. Yankees need to figure out who their third baseman is, if it's Chase Headley, or if it's a rotation where A-Rod plays, I don't know, 50, 60 games at third and maybe 30, 40 at DH. But you know what? Getting a young 25-year-old player is not bad. He came over from Arizona. Hey, change is upon us. I think the Yankees haven't been as active as they needed to be in the offseason. So
no, they need to step it up.
A part here and a part there is great, but, you know, this team, the AL East is running away from the Yankees between the magic that the Red Sox are working, the Orioles are the defending champs. What, they win 96 games or so last year. You know, Toronto's got that stacked roster if they're healthy. So Yankees are in trouble.
Well, yeah, and we got to talk. I mean, Donaldson going to – now, the Blue Jays, they got a couple of people, right? They got Donaldson, and they signed somebody else. They signed Russell Martin. So, you know,
yeah, yeah,
I mean,
we talked about that a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. But I think that that's, you know, really impressive for them. Obviously, we know the Red Sox moves. You know, it's really going to be interesting how the Yankees and also the Mets, you know, how they decide to sort of get starting pitching, take care of the bullpen, and probably add each team another batter to. I think they both have got a lot of work to do. And remember, now the Dodgers have jumped in on Lester. So Lester is getting offers from the Giants, Red Sox, Dodgers. You know, so this is going to be interesting to see, you know, as a Christmas gift where Lester, you know, winds up for the fans.
How much are the Dodgers willing to spend? They're willing to go up to a $300 million payroll?
Oh, yeah. And look, and then the Yankees just signed Andrew Miller, $36 million. So, okay. So, you know, the Yankees are trying to pick it up. I like Andrew Miller. Not bad. You know?
Yeah, look, Yankees still have to make several more moves. But, you know, one piece at a time.
Definitely, definitely. One piece at a time. I think that's, you know, fair. So before we get, obviously, it's a big football show, and we thank George for joining us. But before we get to the college and NFL, let's talk a little hoops. You know, Ray doesn't want to talk Knicks. Last night they found a way to blow another game. The Cavs are starting to put it together. And you know what? I think they're, like you said, we got to be patient, you know, wait to Christmas, whatever. I think they're going to be okay. And I got to tell you, Kyrie Irving, He's in that conversation, Ray. He's in that. Him and John Wall are saying, you know what? We're here, and you need to recognize us. Top three, top five point guards in the league. I think those two guys are so talented. It's beautiful to watch.
And what a pleasure for Cleveland to in an 82 game. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs, right? But in an 82 game season, to be able to hand the ball to somebody other than LeBron James and say, make it happen. Create either for yourself or for somebody else.
So, and he can do it.
And he can do it, right. And I think Kevin Love can hit big shots too. So it's nice that LeBron doesn't have to carry every close game and win every close game. And that's why I think ultimately this team, if they can get their defensive rotations down, with Derrick Rose's health always being a question, and it'll be always a question for the next 2-3 years, maybe for his whole career, I think this Cleveland team is going to beat Chicago. I know you think the opposite.
I still like it, and I like Derrick Rose even at like 90%. I think he's going to gain the confidence, and he's going to be fine. And Chicago is so deep. And by the way, players of the month, we got to give a shout out to Stephen Curry and Jimmy Butler. And we haven't talked about Butler in this show. Your boy is probably the most improved player in the league. Jimmy Butler has stepped up.
Jimmy B?
He's playing amazing ball. I think the Bulls are solid, but right now we got to give props to the Warriors. I don't know if it's Steve Kerr. I don't know if it's their health because they still don't have David Lee fully back. But right now the Golden State Warriors are killing the league. What are they, 15-2 now? I mean, what they've been doing is, you know, it's just beyond impressive. I think the Warriors and then obviously the Rockets beating the Grizzlies the other night without Dwight Howard, I was pretty impressed by that type of victory because I think when, you know, sometimes when you lose one of your top two guys, you know, you can kind of win a game, lose a game, whatever. But the Rockets have sort of, you know, kept pace where they're in that top four still. I got to ask you, with Durant coming back and they lost that game to the Pelicans and we see Anthony Davis just still killing it, do they have enough time in a strong West? What are you thinking about this OKC team?
You know what? If it was any other team, I'd say no, because that West is so strong. But you add, think about this. You add to any team in the league two of the top 10 players, even in the West, and they're young, right? They both got injured, but they're not 35 coming back off an injury. So I do think that even getting off to this slow start, this Oklahoma City team is still going to be 6th seed, 7th seed, something like that in the West. So I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they won't be a top 4 seed, but maybe they'll be it could be as high as five potentially.
6.5 behind Phoenix Suns right now. The Clippers and Spurs right now the 7th and 6th seed. That's kind of wild. I wanted two things. So I want to ask you about the injury to DeRozan. They say a month. It could be longer. Who knows? The Raptors have the number 1 seed, 15-4. How concerned You think Terrence Ross and Landry Fields can hold the fort and step up, and they play and stay in the top two or three for a while? Or
I think this hurts
rough.
Them a lot. I think DeMar DeRozan is such a dynamic player, and even though my man Kyle Lowry can play, I think DeMar DeRozan is really the heart and soul of that team. He's such a dynamic player. He's long. He plays on both sides of the court. He will be missed, and I think they'll play 500 ball or sub 500 ball. And look, I don't think they can not recover from it, and I still think I still think they'll be a top four seed. But they lose that number one seed for if he's out a month, they're going to drop.
And then we need to give a quick little applause. Finally, the Philadelphia 76ers beat the Minnesota. If you're going to beat anybody, you got to beat the Timberwolves, right? With all that youth, beat the Timberwolves 85-77. Led by Robert Covington, who they picked off from the Rockets after he was released, just like a quiet shh, nobody even knew that he was signed. At 1-17, you got MCW drops 29-9, and you know KJ McDaniels. You got to think that there's some hope. I don't know when they'll win Game Two, but we all know their strategy and what they're doing. What can you say to Philadelphia fans right now?
I got to tell you something.
Better than Knicks fans, right? Maybe.
Maybe, because you're stuck as Knicks fans. You know, it's Carmelo and who knows. But at least at Philly, it's a young team. It's a team that you're still waiting to see Joel Embiid. You know Michael Carter-Williams is a stud. You know you're going to have top draft picks. You know you're going to have cap room. So to me, it's okay. You can't compete with the teams in the West anyway. So like you said, didn't you say Philly's going to win a championship in 2018?
That's my pick. 18-19 season. Watch out for the Sixers. Remember, Dario Saric will be here next year probably.
Yeah, next year.
You know?
If you can wait a couple years and you fill out that roster. I mean, the problem is that roster was just didn't have NBA doesn't have NBA players on it. So if you can wait a year or two for Saric to come, Embiid to come, this draft pick, and then Philly will become a place to play again, and they'll get, you know, a 30-year-old free agent like, you know, we were talking about this off air, but sort of like a James Harden 2-3 years ago when he got traded as he was a budding star and then got re-signed. All you need is one of those with all of that youth, and if Embiid and Noel, you know, throw back big men who can defend the rim, can both play and both be healthy, and this kid comes over from Europe, and you know you got a long defensive-minded point guard. You just need, you know, maybe a Bradley Beal type player drops in your lap. Take any of these kids from Kentucky; they gotta help. So, you know what? I'm not that upset if I'm a Philly fan. I think the future is bright in Philadelphia. You may think I'm crazy, but it may not be this year, it may not be next year.
I've been tooting that horn. So, you know, that's a perfect segue. We got to say it real quick before we get to the pigskin. Duke against Wisconsin was a classic game. I think college hoops is heating up strong. The Big Ten beats the ACC 8-6. They were dominating them, and then I guess the second night ACC came back with some wins. Virginia beats Maryland in Maryland. That was a good game for Virginia. But I got to tell you, Tyus Jones, I think this is the first time that going into a tournament, maybe the first time in a long time, that Duke has got a real shot at a national championship. I think that
they only have four.
I know, but I'm talking about where, you know, look at last year. They get in the tournament, they get bounced, boom, with, you know, great names, Parker and all these guys. But when you look at the Jones kid, and he's from Minnesota, he is nasty. His composure the other night, the way Duke shot, their field goal percentage, and Wisconsin, you know, that's no slouch. They could be easily a Final Four team. And Duke went in there, and nobody goes into Wisconsin and plays and wins like that. I was very impressed with that Duke team, and I love – and he didn't even play good. I love the kid Winslow, their small forward. So their team is they're tough. Okafor, Jones, you got Cook. You got to watch out for that Duke team, Ray. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you got Pachecheski coaching you.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, of course. Hey, so I want to ask you.
Can we pencil it in, Duke, Kentucky?
You know what? Listen, oh, gosh. You know, I think back into that regional in Philadelphia in the Spectrum, right, or whatever with the
92, that's right. Yeah, overtime.
Yeah, Seth Davis talked about that on our show, watching it on Duke campus. That's what I think of, and probably the best Duke-Kentucky game ever, and I could easily see the two of them meeting up in the championship. The committee will not set it up that they would meet before the championship. They will be on the opposite side of the region, guarantee, because I think everybody wants to see that matchup. That Kentucky team is ridiculous. Real quick, before we leave the hoops, did you see what your boy Kobayashi, the Black Mamba did the other night, 30-10-10. You know, I don't know. It's hard for Laker fans right now, but, you know, it's going to be interesting. Now, do you think that there's a lot of rumors because he met with Rondo? Could Rondo join the Lakers? Do you think the Celtics would trade Rondo to L.A.?
There's a better chance they trade him out of the conference than they trade him somebody in the conference.
Yeah, I'm hearing those rumblings.
Maybe. They like Avery Bradley. They like what they've got. I feel like
Marcus Smart.
And Marcus Smart, obviously, they drafted this year from Oklahoma State. So I feel like Danny Ainge has always had in his mind that he's going to move Rondo, either because Rondo's going to want more money or because something isn't right, or he's just rebuilding, giving Brad Stevens, you know, a five-year window to rebuild.
A different look.
Also, Rondo's he's at the peak of his career right now. So
he's actually playing pretty well this season.
It's possible. It's quite possible because I don't think this team ends the year, or let's say, put it differently, I don't think this team starts next year with Rondo on the roster.
Oh,
I think
definitely.
The Celtics move him.
Definitely. I would agree with that. So, you know what? I think it's that time. Everybody's excited. This is the weekend, and Sunday, 12:30, we've been waiting for. Let's drop some baits, and we'll take a quick break, and Ray and Tay will come back with college football talk and finish strong with the NFL. Ray and Tay.
Back to talk some college hoops. Now, we've been complaining for decades. We've been complaining for decades that there's no tournament. Now, we all said, it should be eight, it should be this.
Playoffs.
Fine. But the point is, we have ourselves some playoffs. Now, we'll be talking more about it, obviously, later in December. So right now we have conference championships. But how exciting is it that the conference championships are this weekend, and then we know that there'll be a four-team playoff? I'm thrilled.
Listen, it's so big that Sunday morning, NFL game day, they're starting their show half an hour earlier at 9:30, and they end at 12:30. 12:30 on ESPN. You are going to, hear the final college football top 25 ranking and the top four for the playoff. And, we spoke about it with George. It's going to be fascinating. I thought it was fascinating that he thinks your boy, Hundley, who you really, really loved, and I, got on the bandwagon with you, probably won't be a first-round pick. And I think, what's interesting is that you know how it goes. With quarterbacks, they get built up and people fall more in love. So I'm sure behind Mariota, Winston, he'll probably still sneak in the first round because people are desperate for quarterbacks. But speaking of the Pac-12, let's talk about that first game. Tonight, 9 p.m., I believe it's probably on Fox, you got Arizona, number 7, and number 2, Oregon. They've, played, the last 2 years Arizona's beat them. This year we heard about, the offensive line, the injuries, this and that or whatever. I don't think anything like that really matters in this matchup. Arizona's 10-2, Oregon's 11-1. I just think right now Arizona is playing some of their best football, and they're prepared to give the game of their lives.
Are you calling it?
An
upset?
And I think they are going to lose a close one to Marcus Mariota. I think it's a neutral field. And I think Mariota is healthier He wasn't full. I don't think he was fully healthy in that game. And I just think the speed of Freeman and Marshall, and I think our Oregon's defense even gotten better. And this guy's got 3,400 passing yards and 36 touchdowns. He is the Heisman, and he will solidify it in a very close victory, 33-30. Oregon takes care of Arizona, and the Ducks solidify the number two seed in the college football playoffs. This is going to be a great game tonight. Get your popcorn ready.
Okay. I think revenge is a dish best served cold. What's that saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oregon is chomping at the bit. Oregon has been waiting for this rematch. Oregon has been, you know, devastated twice. And they're saying to themselves, look, we have a chance to go make the national championship run that we always thought we were going to do, especially because they opened the season strong against Michigan State, showing, you know, flexing their muscles. Pac-12 turned out to be a very solid, you know, conference, second best, even though George had some great points about the SEC. You always got to consider SEC the best conference. Pac-12 is right behind them at number two. So, Oregon.
Big 12 is right there at three. Big 12 is pretty good, too.
Yeah,
three teams
Big 12 is pretty good,
nine.
Too. I still knock them that they don't have a championship game. I mean, I guess once they became a smaller conference, it was harder to have a championship game. But still, you got to figure something out. So I just think Oregon is ready. Oregon has revenge on their mind. Oregon has the best player on the field, the best player in the country. They have this dynamic offense. And I think that they take it out on your Arizona Wildcats.
Ooh.
I think Oregon wins 35-23.
Ouch, you're going big points. You're going big pimping. Well, let's talk about the SEC. Saturday, Alabama hosts Missouri, 1-16. I do like Mizzou. I think that your boy, Matty Monk, I think they're tough. I think that their receivers are back and they're healthy. I think, you know, all these positive things about them. But I just got to tell you, this is Arizona's year. And I mean, Alabama's year. And I just think at the end of the day, they cannot stop. I mean, I don't think they run it good enough. You know, I like their running back, but I just don't think that their running game is strong enough. And I think Yelding and Cooper and Sims is playing hot, and the confidence that he got, and he's almost got 3,000 yards passing. Bama's defense is going to step up because they didn't like how they performed in that Auburn game again in the Iron Bowl, giving up all those points. So I think Bama, they wind up winning 31-17 over Mizzou.
I agree. I think that Alabama, had they not lost this year, they maybe would have not taken Missouri as seriously as they should. But they did lose. Mizzou is a tough team, but they're really not, you know, in Alabama's class. And I think that as long as Sims doesn't give the game away, I think between the defense, I think between the running back tandem that they have, Amari Cooper, and frankly, Nick Saban, you know, he is about winning national championships. So all you need to do is win this game.
Lane Kiffin's credit. It's a good OC, man. He's helped the team out this year.
Yeah, and Lane Kiffin coming over, you know, a former offensive guy and then former head coach, and comes and calls some interesting, you know, plays and formations at Alabama. So I like Alabama to take it out on Mizzou. I think they win big also. I think they win something like 33-17. I think they win really big.
Over to the ACC, number four. Kind of weird to say it, 12-0.
Undefeated, number four.
You know, the object is to win the games, right, Herman Edwards? And again, against number
play 11. To win the game.
Man, number 11, Georgia Tech at 10-2. This is going to be great. And like George said, I totally agree. This Saturday, 8 o'clock, you don't want to get behind the triple option and Georgia Tech, because the way that they can run it, you know, playing against Georgia Tech and Navy, it's a hard game. And the cutback blocks and the way that their offense is designed. And you know what? They got a pretty decent defense. They had a good win over Georgia. And you remember the ACC took care of the SEC 4-0 last week. You know, I just think that at the end of the day, Florida State finds a way to win. And, you know, just like I was saying to Georgia, oh, what if they barely squeak by? What would the committee say? So we'll talk about that after we give our picks about who our Final Four will be. But I think Winston does not have a bad game. And I think he's got this whole hearing thing behind him. I think maybe that affected him last week because it was coming up. It's behind him. He's going to play. You know, the decision will be January 9th, whatever. It's over. We'll see what happens. But I think Cook's been playing great. I think he'll get the ball to Green. I think he'll get it to the tight end O'Leary. And I think Winston, maybe one pick, but guess what? I think he has four touchdowns. I think Florida State wins 31-23 over Georgia Tech.
Okay. This Georgia Tech team is not bad. They can actually play. They look pretty good last few weeks, and I think they'll give Florida State some problems. Now, I don't know that Jameis is going to throw three interceptions like he did a couple weeks ago in the first half, but I do think that this is going to be another tough nail-biter. Now, George has a good point that if you go to the well too many times, eventually you get caught, but I don't think this will be that. I don't think this will be that time. It may be in the national semis against a better team, but Florida State will do enough to win the game. I think it'll be another close game for them. I think they'll have to score a little bit in the second half, but I think they ultimately pull it off against the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech, 24-20.
Okay, you got a little low scoring there, a little low scoring, 24-20. Okay, well, this is, you know, we got two major big ones left, but this is pretty big. Number 13. Which is maybe helps Ohio State that they moved up in the rankings. Number 13, Wisconsin, and Melvin Gordon and that great running game and big offensive line against number 5, Ohio State, with their third-string quarterback, Mr. Jones. We're going to see what's going to happen here. And I, you know what? I think that this team is playing with emotion for losing their player who took his life, very sad. I think everyone has told them what they cannot do when they lose players. They've lost a couple players this year. They've been like that, almost like the Arizona Cardinals, who I don't think will keep it going, but the next man up. And I just think that they've got more talent. Wisconsin cannot pass the ball at all. Can't, you know, I don't like Stave, and then they, you know, bounce back and forth sometimes with the quarterbacks. I think if you keep Gordon under 200 and two or three touchdowns, which is not easy, I think that they will be able to win this game. I don't think they're going to blow them out. I think Wisconsin's tough. And, you know, remember, Urban Meyer said today on Mike and Mike that this kid has been getting practice play every Friday. He's been getting first string practice, and I think it's going to benefit him. I think Ohio State wins close, 27-24 over Wisconsin.
Wow. I wish that I could be at practice in Columbus and see what's going on and see how the team is rallying around the third-string quarterback and see if this kid really is any good. And give Urban Meyer credit. I mean, this guy came from Utah, went to Florida. Everybody thought, all right, you didn't want to be the guy after Spurrier, but he won himself two national championships. He came to Ohio State, and what has he lost, like one game? One and a half games or something like that?
And so, this is without full scholarships and everything? He's
great being on probation because he got left a mess and losing his quarterback, two quarterbacks, Braxton Miller, and then last week losing his Heisman Trophy. You know, he was an outside chance to win the
Heisman Trophy. Oh, J.T. Barrett would have been going into New York.
Yeah. So, having said all that, I don't know if this kid can move the crowd. I know Ohio State's going to be pumped up, but you know what? I'm going to go the other way.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say Wisconsin. And only because I don't know And quarterback is probably the single most important position in all of football. Maybe not so much in college, because you can do other things schematically, and running backs can make a big difference. But I'm gonna say Ohio State goes down and gets knocked out of the national championship picture. I'll say in a close game, close, low-scoring game, I'll say 21-17.
Okay, and that sets it up interesting for what we think our Final Four will be. The last game in this puzzle, number 9, Kansas State, at number 6, Baylor. And this is not easy. This is going to be tricky because, you know, we know about the head-to-head. Baylor came back being down 21, won 61-58 at home against TCU. Baylor's 10-1, Kansas State 9-2. Kansas State is a tough team, great coaching, and Waters has played his butt off this season. 2,800 passing yards, him and Jones, the running. You got Lockett on the outside. I think that Petty will do enough. Baylor Speed will do enough. Coleman and Linwood will do enough. And I think Baylor is going to win. I think it's going to be close. I'm going to say 34-31, Baylor beats Kansas State.
Wow. So I also think this is going to be a great game. I think this might be the best game of them all.
Yeah.
And this K-State team can play. They're probably not getting enough credit, but you're right. Their quarterback is nice. They are always well coached. The defense always plays, the special teams.
Yeah.
My man Bryce Petty, I had him winning the national championship. I mean, the Heisman Trophy. The national championship, but the Heisman Trophy. I have a sneaky, sneaky suspicion that he might lay an egg.
Oof.
And even though he's my guy, and even though he put up
too much pressure,
stats,
he hasn't been consistently excellent.
He's had flashes and he's had moments.
25 TDs, almost 2,900 yards, but he's had some duds, you're right.
So I have a feeling that K-State might have something for them. And you know I was on the Baylor bandwagon.
Yes, you are.
But I just have a feeling K-State goes in there and takes care of business. 27-20.
Okay, so now let's set this up. Obviously, we both think TCU is going to beat Iowa State maybe by, 20, 30 points? Would you agree?
Yeah.
So they're going to hold on. So now, let's just go down the order together. At 1, I have Bama. Who's your 1?
Alabama, yeah.
At 2, we both have Oregon winning, so Oregon will stay at 2.
Yeah.
At 3, I think it's going to be Florida State because they're beating a Georgia Tech team that's ranked 11. So I think Florida State will move up to 3, even though they want to do them the favor of playing at the Sugar Bowl and rank them number 4. I think that's why they're there now. The committee is trying to help them with traveling, but I think they're going to move up to 3. Who do you have at 3?
They might be 3. In fact, they could be 2. I don't know. They might even be 1, depending on how close those other games are. You still have to acknowledge that they'll be undefeated. But, yeah, I think right now they'll be 3, might be 2. But, yeah.
Yeah, they won't jump Oregon if Oregon beats Arizona.
A close game, though. If Oregon has a close game, 24-23, 30-28, and Florida has a blowout.
Right. They're at 4. Either they're going to jump Oregon, who wins at 2. The committee's not going to do that. So you got Florida.
Undefeated, still undefeated. But go ahead,
Well, they haven't been respecting it like that. So, I mean, there's no reason for you to believe that because they haven't shown that in their committee votes. So we both
Good
have
point.
Florida State at 3. Now at 4, you have Ohio State losing and Baylor losing.
Right, so it's pretty easy for me.
So for you, it's TCU at 4.
Yeah, I didn't even do it because to make my life easy.
Right.
But if that happens, then it's a no-brainer.
Right.
You just pencil them
and,
in.
And for me, I think this is where it's going to get interesting. And if this kid can play good enough, I think of the Big Ten power, the respect, and the travel, they will put Ohio State at 4.
Really?
And then Baylor, TCU, 5-6, whatever order. I think it's setting up, and I think the cachet of Meyer, and if Cardero Jones, if this kid can hold the fort enough and they can stop Gordon and show a good enough, you know, let the committee feel that, you know, they're going to be dangerous and it would be good to see them at 4 play Alabama, a good game, I think that they're going to put Ohio State in. Although all year I've been banging the table for TCU, and I don't care. Everybody talks about the head-to-head. It's got to matter. I agree, but I think clearly TCU is better than Baylor this year, even though they played head-to-head. I think TCU, if it wasn't Ohio State, I would stick with TCU at 4. So that's my picks, and we'll see how it happens. It's going to be fascinating, but I just think Baylor will squeak by Kansas State, and I don't think that's enough to put them in the top 4.
Okay.
So there we go.
Well, we'll talk about it on Monday for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So NFL Week 14, Ray, this is, you know, it's unbelievable to sort of, you know, to say it out loud.
I'm almost depressed. I'm excited because the playoffs are right around the corner, but I'm depressed because we're 14 weeks into a 17-week season.
And we're digging into the fantasy playoffs. It's just a mess. First off, let's salute the Dallas Cowboys. They got their 9th win, no more 8-8 seasons.
How about
41,
the Cowboys?
41-28, 179 yards from, you know, a top-3 MVP candidate, DeMarco Murray. He needs to still get his respect. He's on pace to get 2,000, definitely pass maybe even next week. All-time rusher in Dallas history, Emmitt Smith, for one single season. And they play a good game. Romo does what he has to do. We'll talk about Jay Cutler another time and just what they need to do. But I thought the Cowboys did a great job, and they took care of business. And I think they are going to solidify a wild card spot and definitely make the playoffs. So they're in a good spot. So Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, you say what? In the AFC North.
I say Cincinnati is one of the most erratic teams I can remember. They're playing well now.
They got lucky last week. 1 point.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I don't love your Steelers, but I do think that they'll win this week. I think that Cincinnati's vulnerable, and Cincinnati at times can play dynamic football, but I think Pittsburgh shuts them down. I think Pittsburgh shows off their running game, and this kid Le'Veon Bell needs to be put up there in next year in kind of MVP
over
type of discussion.
Yards.
Just
yeah.
Because of his versatility. I mean, some of these backs these days are just so good, and Antonio Brown, and you know what Roethlisberger can do. So to me, I think Pittsburgh wins this game. Close game, I think they win 23-20.
You know, I totally agree with you. They're 10-2 at Cincinnati the last, you know, bunch of years since 2002. I like Sanu and A.J. Green to both have big games. I don't think Hill and or Giovanni would do much against us. And I do, funny feeling, I think Andy Dalton is going to give us a nice little pick six. I think we're going to win this one. Should be a good game, but I think we're going to win this one 26-21. And I think Big Ben will get it going. We need to wake up. And I think going on the road will help us. And I just think Brown, you'll see Heath Miller with his 3 or 4 great catches. And like you said, Bell. Bell will gain close to 150 total yards between 6 receptions and, you know, 80 yards carrying it. So I got him 26-21. How about them Pittsburgh Steelers, baby? So next up should be another fun battle, playoff battle, and we got to mention this, no Haloti Ngata at the Miami Dolphins. Adderall, 4 games, he's out. Clowney's done for the season. Andre Ellington's out this week. But the Baltimore Ravens at the Miami Dolphins, you say what?
Go Ravens, go. Wow. I think that even though they don't have Haloti Ngata, that's a big miss.
And he's
eligible
for week 1 of the playoffs, though.
Yeah. Justin Forsett is quite a find. Flacco knows how to win in December. and when the games matter. Miami, I think, is a team that's on the brink of being good, but they don't really know how to be good. They're not consistent. They don't really have an identity. I don't think Ryan Tannehill has really grabbed that team by the horns. Baltimore will do just enough to win, I think, another one of these low-scoring games, 21-17.
Everything you said, I totally agree with. They're going to miss Nada. It'll make it closer. And I think that they hold on to win. I think they're missing one more weapon. I don't know if Hartline's going to be playing. They got Gibson and Landry and Wallace. A lot of inconsistencies for the Dolphins, but I think the veterans of Baltimore will get them to win, I'll say 23-20 for the Baltimore Ravens. And you know I don't like the Ravens, but I got to be honest. The Miami's quite not ready. Sorry, Hank, our boy. So interesting game. Colts at Cleveland, and they stick with Hoyer. What are your thoughts?
I thought it was absolutely the right thing to do. You're 7 and 5. Your franchise has been terrible since you've moved back to Cleveland. This guy, the reason you're 7 and 5, you got to let him take you to. And you haven't seen Johnny Manziel. And I am the guy who said, I think Johnny Manziel will be an excellent pro, and I think he'll be a star potentially, but he hasn't earned it, and he's not ready. And Brian Hoyer is ready. So you roll with Brian Hoyer. That's my guy. And you win this week to go 8-5.
Ooh, they beat the Colts?
I think they beat the Colts. I think the Colts are, you know, again, a very good team, but don't you look at that team and you're like, something's missing. You might have the best player in the game in Andrew Luck. You might have, top five, right? Definitely maybe the guy you would start your franchise with only because he's what, 7 or 8 years younger than Aaron Rodgers. But somehow you don't look at the Colts team and you're like, this team is really unbeatable. You know, like those teams of yesteryear, you know, the Cowboys, the Niners, the Steelers.
I don't know if Cleveland can score with them, though. That's the thing. Offensively, I think the
Yes, so that's the key. That's the key. Can Joe Hayden and these corners, Gilbert and those guys, can they shut down the passing attack? Oh, and by the way, he gets Dwayne Allen back and Colby Fleener up the middle.
Oh,
so
Fleener's
I see why you're
going
with the Colts. I hear it in your voice, but I'm telling you,
all right, give me a score.
Cleveland, baby. Josh Gordon to the rescue. I am the magnificent.
What's the score?
27-24. Cleveland Browns, led by Brian Hoyer.
The cardiac kids. Now, look, this guy, Luck, has thrown for 4,000 yards already, 34 touchdowns. You know, he's in the conversation with Rodgers, Murray, J.J. Watt, and Luck for the MVP, those four. Those are my top four. I just think, with Boom Herring, Richardson, you can't rely on. They're going to miss Bradshaw. But like you said, Allen back, Hilton, maybe Hakeem Nicks plays a little football. I just think offensively it's too much. And I don't have the confidence in Hoyer. And I actually think the Colts, where their team is not so great, but they are good in the secondary. If they can get West and Crowell, my man Isaiah, to really ground and pound, they have a shot. But I think it won't be enough. Colts win 27-23. I think the Colts hold on to get the victory. Hey, KC at Arizona, what do you got?
Both teams are in trouble. They're both on the verge of getting their playoff hopes shattered. Obviously, Arizona has farther to fall because they were, you know, had the best record in the NFC. But I think this game means a lot to both teams, but only one can win. I think Arizona's a mess. I think Andre Ellington going down and Stanton and Fitzgerald not being healthy. Again, they're losing their identity. Who are the Arizona Cardinals? So I think that Kansas City figures it out that they need to feed Jamal Charles the ball every single time. And when you don't feed him the ball, give the ball to Al Davis because he's pretty
That's
good.
That's right, because he's pretty good too.
And this kid, Dwayne Bowe, has been inconsistent his whole career, but I think he'll catch a touchdown. Maybe they'll get something out of their, you know, pretty good tight ends. I think ultimately they win the game, and Arizona keeps reeling. So I think they win 27-20.
I think there's too much pressure on this Cardinals defense to perform every week, And I like on both sides of the ball the way Bruce Arians has them playing so aggressive. I think that's where the tight end, Kelce, can score a touchdown. Charles out the backfield. Niles Davis running with Charles. And Charles is just too explosive. And they don't have explosive plays, but they have explosive players in Kelce and Charles. Taylor might do halfway decent, 60, 70 yards, but you don't know if Fitzgerald's healthy. And Stanton has just not been doing it consistently enough lately. He's not playing good enough. I got the Chiefs beating the Cardinals to go 8-5 and stay alive in this wild card. The Chiefs put them up at the 5 seed, I believe. They are going to win 24-20. Now, this is the classic game. The Seahawks, the Battle of the Birds, the Seahawks at the Eagles. This is huge.
This is a huge game, and I believe the Seahawks have turned the corner. I think that they're ready to make a playoff run. The Eagles will be there. I still think the Eagles win that division. Dallas is putting pressure on them, breathing down their neck. Philly's gotten it together again by going back to LeSean McCoy. Sanchez is still Sanchez at the end of the day, and I think that Seattle exploits
Sherman,
that.
Pick him off? Richard Sherman?
Richard Sherman, who only had one interception, and last week picked off two.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think that Sanchez makes two mistakes. I think he has a fumble and maybe one or two interceptions. And even though the Philadelphia Eagles are a high-scoring team, you can't do that against a balanced team like the Seattle Seahawks. But Seattle has to score, though. This won't be a 16 game. So I think Seattle wins 30-24.
You know, it's interesting that you said that because people talk about Seattle and their offense and scoring, but I think beast mode is really what you need. A couple
beast
of clutch
mode.
Passes. The stats have proven out that out of the pocket, Russell Wilson rolling or scrambling has been the deadliest weapon this year in the NFL, and I think the kid is underrated. You know, I'm a big fan of his, and he just keeps it going and keeps it moving. I think the Seahawks, they do enough. The Eagles will get their three touchdowns and be kind of explosive, but the Seahawks win 26-24, beast mode, 120 in a TD.
Play them in your fantasy team.
I wish I had a roster. So this is it, Sunday Night Football, and this game can determine a lot in terms of just, you know, now, we didn't talk Broncos-Bills. We both kind of agree that the Broncos will be able to withstand
their...
Yeah,
that'll be a 10-point game, maybe two-touchdown game.
Yeah, I think that they will. But you got the Patriots going to the West Coast, going back to Brady's home. He's going against the Chargers. And the Chargers, with the banged-up Phillip Rivers, actually, they had a huge win last week against Baltimore. And I think the Chargers got their swagger back. This is going to be a tough win. I've been going back and forth. I almost want to say that the Patriots will lose, but Belichick will find a way to confuse them. He'll find a way to take away Matthews and Gates, and then it's just going to be how much the corners, Browner and Revis Island, lock down Floyd and Allen, and we'll see Eddie Royal have a big game. But I think it won't be enough. I think the Patriots win 30-24. Patriots beat the Chargers in San Diego.
Yeah, I think San Diego had their game last week where they came back. What were they down? They scored 17 in the fourth quarter against Baltimore.
It's huge.
And conversely, Belichick lost to Green Bay, so you know he's licking his chops. Take it out on somebody. And I actually think that New England takes it out on San Diego. I think they're a little banged up. I think San Diego is not as healthy. They can't establish that running game consistently. And I think between Brandon Oliver, Ryan Matthews, and you know, they just don't have enough. They rely too much on Rivers to win them the games.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's been a little inconsistent. He's a great talent, inconsistent. Eddie Royal, Antonio Gates, they're all good. I think you give Belichick a chance. He'll take away one
and
or two of those
secondary.
Guys.
Patriots secondary is tough.
Yeah, number four against the pass. I think the Patriots actually win big. I think they go in there and take out their frustrations, and I think they win 31-20.
Ooh, wow. Is it a big Gronk day?
Gronk up the middle. And then Timmy
the
Wright.
Is, does Edelman
then,
get off? Do and who's running
it's
the ball?
So, you know what? That's why I can't mess with the Patriots on fantasy. I don't
know
who. If it's going to be Jonas Gray, if it's going to be your boy LeGarrette Blunt, if it's going to be Edelman, Wright, Gronkowski,
Bolden?
Brady.
He whipped out Bolden last week.
Bolden, yeah, who knows? But I know they'll put up 31.
All right, well, either way, it's going to be a great Sunday night matchup.
Take the kicker.
And, yeah, you know, so before we go, just got to ask you about the two hires because we're waiting on Michigan. But in the same day, Florida and Nebraska took care of business with Mike Riley and Jim McElhane.
Jim McElhane, right?
Jim McElhane. Which hire from Colorado State and from Oregon State, Mike Riley? I actually, Ray, I like both the hires. People criticize that he's Riley 61. I'm like, that's not a big deal to me. And I think he's done well at Oregon State with, you know, being the stepchild to the Oregon Ducks. He's had some decent upsets. He's not beaten top 5 or top 20 teams, but he's played well. They beat Arizona State this year in that upset. And I think he's a good coach. And then I like this guy who McElvain, he's been with Bama. And he's done really great things in Colorado State. So I think Florida and Nebraska, I think they've got the right direction. You know, the question
is,
what happened to Michigan?
I think people were waiting for a superstar in Florida. I don't know about Nebraska that they could have gotten a superstar. I mean, you know, Tom Osborne is Tom Osborne, and nobody will ever be Tom Osborne. But
yeah.
Florida maybe could have made a bigger splash. But you know what? It's fine. You can't always go out there and get – Urban Meyer wasn't Urban Meyer before he became Urban Meyer, right?
It's not always just about the names. It's more about your game.
Right, right. And he was the man at Utah, and look how he, you know, basically made them an elite. They took him from an elite to an elite plus program, to a top 3 program. So, hey, maybe these guys will do it. Let's wait to see what happens for Michigan maybe this week. We got some great games, great college games. We'll be talking Final Four. We have a hopefully on next Friday we've got an NFL wide receiver for you, you know, a blast from the past.
Oh, yeah.
So we got a big week coming up.
Yeah, no, definitely. Listen, great show. And like always, you know, thanks for listening and talking sports with friends. Ray and Tay today, we are out.
Have a great sports weekend.
And get your popcorn ready, maybe even get a beer. Watch this Arizona-Oregon game tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern. This is going to be fun.
It's on.
Do not step in me off with a box left me off and my pops left me off and my mama wasn't home. Do not step in me off with a box left me off and my pops left me off and my mama wasn't home. Do not step in me off with a box left me off and my pops left me off and my mama wasn't home. Do not step in me off with a box left me off and my pops left me off and my mama wasn't home.
What?
Yeah, mama wasn't home, but he complete had to just stand on his own. Come on, son, I spit it off the dome, and I